right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. And in a moment here, we're going to have G. Edward Griffin up, author of what I consider to be the best book ever written on exposing the Federal Reserve, the graduating income tax, and the banksters behind the whole fiasco, the history of it, how it came about, what their agenda is. The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you don't have a copy of that, that's something you're going to want to get. Your library of government corruption is not complete without that book. Your knowledge of the subject is not complete without that book. It's just loaded with information, quotes, all kinds of background information about the Rothschilds and their push for creating central banks all across Europe during the 19th century, and how at the same time they were pushing to try to get a central bank here. And for a time seemed to have been succeeding. They got what was a precursor of a central bank, the first bank and then the second bank of the United States. Never quite flew, though, and it didn't catch on. It wasn't what they wanted it to be. And they were very frustrated. And so we saw several presidents getting assassinated who stood up against them, recognized this scam for what it was, stood up to oppose it, and caught a bullet in the head. But anyway, with no further ado, let me introduce Mr. G. Edward Griffin, again, author of A Creature from Jekyll Island. Welcome, Mr. Griffin.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I was just giving a little introduction there about your book and how it goes into the history of it, the history of central banking.
Yes.
Here we are. We're, you know, almost 100 years into this thing, and we've seen a major depression. Of course, the stock market crash that precipitated that, and, you know, scores of recessions and massive inflation, monstrously outrageous, unsurmountable debt, which, of course, under this current administration has increased exponentially. And all of this goes right back to the initial creation of that scandalous system, doesn't it, 1913, Federal Reserve Act?
It certainly does. It wasn't formed for the purpose of destroying the nation, of course. These people didn't want to destroy or kill the goose that laid the golden egg. But nevertheless, I think it's important to know that the Federal Reserve System is not a government agency, and it really is not responsive to the people. If you have to understand that the Federal Reserve is nothing more or less than a cartel. It's no different than the sugar cartel or the oil cartel or the banana cartel. This happens to be a banking cartel, which means it's a consortium of private companies, private banks, which have been given the power of government to enforce their cartel agreement. And they do this all in the name of protecting the people. It has the aura of being a government agency because it was brought into being by an act of Congress. And so it has this appearance of being part of the government. But in reality, it's nothing more than a private cartel. And you have to understand, when cartels act, they may pretend to be acting in the name of the public interest or the public good or for society at large and all of that. They have to do that in order to justify, to legitimize their existence.
Window dressing, yeah.
Yes, it's window dressing to a large extent. There's some reality to it, but the hard core of the structure is that it's there for one purpose, and that's to promote the interests of the members of the cartel, period. And so when we look at who makes up the cartel, and it's really dominated by the largest banks in the United States, it's not surprising that the banks are doing very well during this period of crisis for America. And once you have that perspective, then things begin to look a little bit differently, and you begin to be a little more skeptical about some of these pronouncements that come from the Federal Reserve. You know, when the Federal Reserve chairman goes before Congress and said, well, we're raising rates this month, he never says we're doing it in order to improve the profit structure of the banks.
Right.
He always says we're doing this for you folks to help the economy. And
tell you what, we're going to go on a break. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with G. Edward Griffin.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have G. Edward Griffin here as our guest. You know, Mr. Griffin, it's shocking that here we have the most powerful financial institution of the country. I mean, basically, our whole future rests in their hands because they control our economy. And when you have control of a nation's economy, you control the whole nation. And yet this institution has never been audited, and every attempt to do so has been successfully blocked. It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and yet I'm not as concerned about it as some people because, in my opinion, Charles, if the Federal Reserve System were to be audited, I think they may find some minor misappropriation of funds or something like that, but I'm sure it would be minor. They would find that the Federal Reserve is doing exactly what it is chartered and authorized to do, which is creating money out of nothing. That part of it is right out in the open. You don't need to be audited to see that. The real crime is right out in the open. And I think there's too much focus on audit the Fed, audit the Fed. Well, we don't need to audit the Fed. We need to get rid of the Fed.
Shut it down, yeah,
you
exactly.
What I'm saying? And I think that this movement to audit the Fed is kind of a diversion because it would give the people some kind of false impression that, oh, well, now Congress is really, really taking a look at this and they're going to get to the bottom of this. And, well, they'll drag an audit on for 4 or 5 or 6 years. And then when they come to the end of it, they'll say, oh, well, we checked it, and it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. No, we need to get rid of it, not audit it.
And then that would silence the skeptics. See, everything's fine. Everything's above board.
Yeah, see, we audit
it. The whole thing is illegal. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And, well, it's legal, that's right. And they passed the laws.
Well, by illegal, I mean
legal.
Right, but by the Constitution, it's not legal.
Oh, not by the Constitution, no. But see, that they won't audit it for a constitutionality. They'll just audit it to make sure that the debits and the credits equal each other, and they will.
Well, who pays attention to that outmoded document anymore, anyway?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, who pays attention to that outmoded document anymore?
Oh, yes, anyway? Yes. it just gets in the way of some of those guys in Washington.
Yeah. My. So, you know, should we go back to the 19th century, you know, the creation of central banks around Europe and, you know, how they were trying to push for one here and weren't quite successful and the disappearance of a couple presidents there?
What we have now, of course, is a direct a carbon copy of what they created in Europe. And it was best exemplified in the Bank of England. We copied the Bank of England, and this whole what they call central bank structure was taken from Europe. Paul Warburg was one of the masterminds of the Federal Reserve System, and of course he came from Hamburg, Germany, and was part of the Warburg banking consortium there, and he was considered to be the expert in this country. He was a naturalized American citizen by that time, but he was considered to be the expert, and they leaned heavily on his advice to create what they call a central bank. Well, that's one of those code phrases, Charles, that doesn't mean anything. Central bank, what does that mean? Well, it's not a bank at all. It certainly is central, but it doesn't tell you anything. Central bank, when you unscramble the words, really means it's a consortium of private banks who have been given the monopoly to create the nation's money supply. They formed a partnership with the politicians. It's kind of a backroom deal, you might say, except it's done right out in the open and given the form of law, so it looks very neat and tidy and everything. But it's a deal between the politicians and the bankers, whereby the politicians give the bankers the monopoly to create the nation's money. It's incredible. The banks can create the nation's money supply. And then in return, the politicians get a nice benefit. They know now that whenever they need money, and they always need money more than what they're willing to tax the people for, because, you know, raising taxes is very unpopular. You get unelected that way. But increasing benefits is very popular, and you get elected that way. So the politicians are always looking for ways to increase benefits and spend more money, and at the same time not increase taxes or actually lower taxes. So they need money. They need to borrow money. And so they go now to the central bank, and they say, we need to borrow this money because we don't want to tax the people, so we'll borrow it instead. Well, the deal that's happening right out there in the open in front of everybody's eyes is that this money that they're borrowing from the central bank is created out of nothing. So it looks like a loan. Yeah. It looks like a loan, but it's not. It's just a process by which the central banks literally create money out of nothing and then appear to loan it to the government. And, of course, that has consequences. That means that interest has to be paid on this nothing, and the taxpayers have to pay the interest, and the money floods into the system and dilutes the value, the purchasing power of the dollar or whatever monetary unit they're using. And we have this thing called inflation. Prices rise, and the loss of purchasing power is the tax. That's the hidden tax. So the politicians get their money through taxes, but it's an invisible tax called inflation. So it's a nifty little deal for the politicians and for the bankers. And meanwhile, the public just sits there chewing their gum, figuring, what on earth is going on to my purchasing power? Look at this inflation. My. I wonder what's causing that. So
it's
that's the deal. That's
a rigged game. Yeah, it's a rigged game that they can't lose and we can't win.
Yeah, that's right. So the first step is the people have to wise up to what is going on and then take these politicians by the scruff of the neck and throw them out and get real people in there that have the interests of the voters in mind and not the bankers and their own pockets.
You know, explain the correlation, too, between the central bank and the income tax. You really can't have one without the other, and how this has been implemented in countries around the world. You know, wherever you have these central banks, you have the accompanying income tax. This is how they get their debts paid back, picking the public purse.
Yes, it's true. You find those two elements together. I don't know how necessary they are to be together. I think each one could function independently if necessary. But the mindset of the people who create the central bank is also the mindset of the people who like the income tax, because these people are not just, don't forget, they're not just bankers. They have partners in government, so they've got the monetary scientists in partnership with the political scientists. And these people have more in mind than just riches and you know, fattening their own wallets. They have power in mind. They want to create a system, a society which they control. They honestly believe that they're going to control it for the betterment of mankind, but they mean to control it nevertheless. They're social engineers, and they're trying to build a system of, right now it's clear, they're trying to build a new world order, as they fondly call it, based on the model of collectivism. That means a world government with all of the component governments, including our own, very totalitarian in nature, being controlled at the top, at every aspect of our lives, supposedly for our own good, but nevertheless controlled by an elite who don't really depend anymore on voters or anything else. They just run things. And that's what they're trying to build, and that's where the income tax comes into play, because the income tax, must remember, it's not really necessary to fund the government. That's a shocking thought. But income taxes are not necessary to fund the United States government. They can get all the money they need and then more simply by creating it through the banking system, through the Federal Reserve system, and then they tax the people through inflation. You can run the government entirely on inflation if you want to, but they don't want to. They want the income tax not for revenue, but for control.
Control.
It's control. It's the means of redistributing wealth. It's a means of taking money from this sector and putting it into that sector. It's a means of rewarding your friends, your political friends, and punishing your enemies. And that's why the tax code is so thick. It's so many thousands and thousands of pages. It's gimmicks in order to manipulate the system to the advantage of those with political influence. That's why we have the income tax.
Well, there's no IRS agent that understands the document. They specialize in certain areas, and even then they don't understand it.
No, there's no person in the world that understands the income tax, and yet they expect you and me to understand it. If we misinterpret it, they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. But no human being in the world understands the income tax. It's not meant to be understood. It's meant to be interpreted and enforced to the advantage of those in power.
Did you hear what Einstein once said? I've cracked many, you know, difficult mathematical codes, but one thing I'll never figure out is the IRS tax code.
Well, that's true. It's humorous, but it's really serious underneath that, because no one has intended to understand it. It's incomprehensible. It has one purpose, and that's for control. And once people understand that, they throw that thing out. That's one of the things that's very heartening today, because there's one candidate out there that's got the courage to say that. And that's Congressman Ron Paul. You know, he's running for president.
Yeah.
And they asked him on the debates a couple of weeks ago. They thought they would embarrass him. They said, Mr. Paul, if you were elected president, would you eliminate the Internal Revenue Service? Just eliminate it completely, the income tax? And, of course, they expected him to say, well, no, I wouldn't eliminate it. I would reform or something. And he gulped for a second, looked at the camera and says, in a heartbeat.
Wow.
I loved it.
They'll kill him.
Yeah. They don't like him very much.
I had his campaign chairman on about a week and a half ago, and I came out and asked him. I said, so what are you going to do? You know, if the election is run fairly, it's not rigged, and Ron Paul wins, how are you going to circumnavigate your way around the assassins and the CIA? I just had to ask him that.
Yes.
I kind of said it jokingly, you know, he just talked right over, you know, I can understand he didn't want to go down that road. But that's a very real concern.
Yes, of course. And of course, I look at Ron Paul as a soldier on the front line. He knows his life is in danger, but he's combating the enemy as best he can anyway.
Right. And, of course, they're not giving him much attention in the media. It's disgusting. They're trying to boycott him from the debates. But
oh, yeah. They try and make him invisible to the average person.
And then Zogby lies that he doesn't have a lot of or any support. They said zero support. You've got to be kidding me. He's been winning all the debates.
Yeah.
What a scandal. Anyway, stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with G. Edward Griffin.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have G. Edward Griffin on as our guest. You know, before we go any further, Mr. Griffin, I want to give you a chance to plug your website and anything else you want to mention.
Well, thank you, Charlie. I appreciate that. We have two websites, a commercial one and an organizational one. The commercial one is where we make available videotapes and audio tapes and books. Not just the ones that I've written, but we have about 100 items that we've carefully chosen, which we think sort of serve as Operation Red Pill, you know, bring people out of the matrix and see what's really going on out there. And we call that the Reality Zone. So that's easy enough to remember. It's www.realityzone.com. But the organizational website is the one that's devoted to an international movement that we've created to try and reverse the trend. We think it's not enough just to know about the problem, but you've got to do something about it. Knowledge is not enough. So for that group of people that want to really take charge and try and reverse what's going on, we have created an organization called Freedom Force International, and that's what the website says. It's www.freedomforceinternational.org. ORG stands for organization. So that's where I spend most of my time. Is with Freedom Force International.
Yeah, that sounds very good, folks. I hope you'll go there and check that out and get involved. Sounds very, very good. Have you been getting a lot of good responses?
It's most encouraging, Charlie. This organization was only formed a few years ago, and in that short period of time, we have grown immensely. The name International is not there just for to make it sound good. We now have members in 40 countries, 4-0. It's just amazing because the problems of growing government, growing collectivism, are shared by people everywhere in the world today. And it's basically the same beast everywhere. It's called collectivism. And so once we realized that the forces of collectivism are organized internationally, it became clear to us that we had to organize a counterforce internationally as well. So, yes, it's growing well, and we have chapters in the United States, and we have members and activity in Canada and in Australia, New Zealand, and, well, as I say, 40 different countries. So I encourage anybody to come on to the website and plan to spend some time if they really want to do something about this problem.
Yeah, it's time to take action, folks, and get motivated. I mean, you can smell it in the air. It's everywhere. You're seeing this fraudulent war on terror being exploited to grab power in every country. They're all in on it. It's all, this is your new world order right in your face.
Yep, it is.
In fact, the only countries that are exceptions to this are the ones that aren't in bed with this system. In fact, I'm sure you know this, Iran, for example, doesn't have a central bank.
Yeah, well, we're not really advocating the type of government they have in Iran, but you're quite right. And those countries that seem to resist the central bank movement and resist taking loans and becoming indebted to the International Monetary Fund,
become part of the axis of evil.
Yeah, they become the targets. They become demonized. And, of course, there's plenty within them to make them look bad. I mean, there are no governments in the world today, in my opinion, including our own, which couldn't be demonized if you really looked at them, objectively. But our government seems to, and our media seems to be very selective in which governments they choose to demonize and which governments they tend to glaze over and make look pretty good.
Yeah, the American people are oblivious to the fact that Washington has no aversion to tyrannical governments as long as they play ball with them. They don't care.
Yeah, that's right. We have funded just about every dictator in the world at one time or another.
Yeah.
If it was seemed to be in our interest or in somebody's interest, they said it was in our interest, but I don't think it was.
No, I don't either, unfortunately. So, okay, coming back to the Federal Reserve and what's been going on in this country, did you want to, I mean, the outrageous crimes these guys have gotten away with, you go back to, you know, World War One, you see they were profiting from that, in fact, instigating that. And I don't think it's any accident that a month after the Federal Reserve Act was passed, along with the, a few months earlier, the income tax was introduced, bang, very next month, out breaks World War One, and they were busy trying to get us involved in that, and making huge profits once we were involved. And, of course, World War Two, and you had the stock market crash, which they, with hindsight, obviously precipitated with the Federal Reserve and the control of our economy. They were easily able to do that. And while everybody else was losing, they were gaining, weren't they?
Well, yes. Mentioning war, let's just focus on that for a brief second. It's a fact of life that modern wars are so devastatingly expensive that if the real cost were known to the taxpayers, they would not, in my opinion, they would not so lightly endorse the wars. Wars, ever since the Bank of England created the central bank mechanism over a century ago, the governments were able to finance wars through this hidden tax called inflation. Prior to that, wars had to be financed directly by taxes and plunder. Well, this made governments very unpopular to the citizens of both those nations which were being plundered and also to the citizens who were being taxed. So wars were limited. But once they could create money out of nothing and charge it to the taxpayers through inflation, wars started to crank up.
Deficit spending.
Yes.
Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with G. Edward Griffin.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have G. Edward Griffin here as our guest. We're talking about the banksters, the big hucksters that hijacked our economy and have been sinking it to the into the bottomless pit. Ever since 1913, folks, the big mess we're in right now, insurmountable national debt, has all come about by design. Mr. Griffin, has there ever been any estimates of how much gold was stolen from the American people as a result of the 1933 Emergency Banking Relief Act?
You know, Charlie, there probably has. I have seen estimates from different people. I don't know which one or which, if any, were accurate. But I can't say that the amount of money that's been stolen from the American people through inflation is absolutely incredible. Are you talking about gold in particular or just purchasing power?
Across the board. But specifically, it has to be the biggest gold heist in history. FDR, you know, as a result of the Banking Relief Act of March 9th of 33, a month later, he ordered all Americans to hand over their privately owned gold. And it went right to the Federal Reserve.
Yes, it did, and it went to the private banks, of course. And the gold has been gold is an interesting thing in that the central bankers of the world and the politicians who are working closely with them in this cartel, they've been trying to convince the public that gold is a barbarous metal. You know, that it's as an awful thing to have your monetary system based on gold because it's so limited and it restricts flexibility, and it's a terrible relic from the past. It's almost a superstition, and they talk it down all the time. But meanwhile, they do everything they can to acquire it for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people miss that point. And because when push comes to shove, gold and or silver are really the ultimate money in the world, because they have real intrinsic value, and it's just not something that's created out of nothing by a political whim or a stroke of the pen. It has real value, and those who possess it have something that is independent of governments, it's independent of bankers, it's independent of political decrees, with one exception, of course. The politicians can always pass a law which says it's illegal for you to hold gold or silver, and they have done that in the past.
Even though it's not important, we want what you have.
Yeah, even though it's not important, you people who are holding on to it are bad people because you're hoarders, and you're damaging the economy, and you're hurting the rest of the nation. So you are bad people. We're going to put you in jail. And the average person out there who doesn't have any gold or silver would say, yeah, yeah, get those bad people. They're, look how well they're doing, and here I am in a bread line. Yeah, get them. You know, they play upon the ignorance of the average person. It's just pathetic.
Yeah. And so, and don't you love it? They called it the Emergency Banking Relief Act, like the banks needed relief. They were the ones profiting from the crash and the depression.
And that's right. The Americans that need relief. Well, that, you know, it's a... That's a study in itself, isn't it, Charlie, of how they name these laws.
Yeah.
Every law that's passed makes it sound like it's so wonderful. It's going to help.
Patriot Act.
Yeah, and actually, if once you get to that highest level of understanding where you become pretty skeptical, if not cynical, about these things, you begin to realize that usually the laws are just the opposite of what they say they are.
Yeah. So, well, you got your Trading with the Enemy Act. I love that one.
Yeah,
it actually
Trading
states...
with the Enemy Act.
It actually states that it forbids, you know, U.S. corporations trading with belligerent nations except those that have special concessions from the president.
Yeah, just except the ones that we play ball with, in other words.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Monopolies.
Yeah, you know, Charlie, could I go back to that issue of war again?
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
It's a topic that seldom comes up in these financial discussions. Most people are focused mainly on their pocketbooks, you know. That's a very tender spot on the anatomy. But, you know, there are other parts, and this war issue is, I think, very important. In my book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, I devoted a chapter to this topic, and I called it the Rothschild Formula. And, of course, the Rothschilds were one of the original banking dynasties of Europe, and they developed the fine art of loaning money to the government. Now, when they were doing to governments, not just one government, but governments, and in return for that, they were given all kinds of concessions. Not only were they collecting interest on those loans, but they also got all kinds of business concessions from the government. Now, they weren't creating money out of nothing in those days. They were actually loaning gold. But nevertheless, that's where this whole thing started. And I noticed when I was reading through the history that the Rothschilds and other banking firms as well were investing on both sides of wars, and they were profiting from wars. And the question arose, well, did they want wars, and were they deliberately doing that? And I came up with what I thought was the view, and I call it the Rothschild formula. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just read it. It's not too long. It's 5 points.
Yeah, sure.
I thought that, you know, if these men were to survey the world around them, it wouldn't be difficult to imagine that they would come to the conclusions which would become the prime directives of their careers. And here are the conclusions. Number one, war is the ultimate discipline to any government. If it can successfully meet the challenge of war, it will survive. If it cannot, it will perish. All else is secondary. Sanctity of laws, the prosperity of its citizens, and the solvency of its treasury will be quickly sacrificed by any government in its primal act of self-survival. Okay. Two, all that is necessary, therefore, to ensure that governments will maintain or expand their debt is to involve them in war or the threat of war. The greater the threat, And the more destructive the war, the greater the need for debt. 3. To involve a country in war, or the threat of war, it will be necessary for it to have enemies with credible military might. If such enemies already exist, all the better. If they exist but lack military strength, it will be necessary to provide them with the money to build their war machine. If an enemy does not exist at all, then it will be necessary to create one by financing the rise of a hostile regime. 4. The ultimate obstacle is a government which declines to finance its wars through debt. Although this seldom happens, when it does, it will be necessary to encourage internal political opposition, insurrection, or revolution to replace that government with one that is more compliant to our will. The assassination of heads of state could play an important role in this process. And then finally, 5. No nation can be allowed to remain militarily stronger than its adversaries, for that could lead to peace and a reduction of debt. To accomplish this balance of power, it may be necessary to finance both sides of the conflict. Unless one of the combatants is hostile to our interests and therefore must be destroyed, neither side should be allowed a decisive victory or defeat. While we must always proclaim the virtues of peace, the unspoken objective is perpetual war. And that, to me, explains a lot of what's been going on in the world for the last 200 years.
Now, if I didn't know better, I would swear that described American foreign policy for the past...
you might have picked up on that, yeah. Well, you know, it certainly describes the what's been going on in Europe for a long, long time. And American theoreticians and European theoreticians, too, have always spoken highly about the balance of power, how good it was to keep all nations equal so that no one was able to dominate. Well, how do you do that? It's with wars, you know? And so we're given a high objective of keeping all nations balanced, and yet... The way that's done is through financing and debt and wars. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out because it's true that if the voters really knew what wars cost them, they wouldn't be so enthusiastic and support their leaders when they talk about war and rush into war.
And especially if they knew the agenda behind it, that the whole thing is orchestrated like a movie set.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's our job, and that's the reason I wrote the book, and that's just looking at the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately, Charles. There's so many things like that going on in our world. It's very much like being in the Matrix, and once you come out and you take that red pill and you realize that the reality is not at all what we thought it was, it's very uncomfortable. It's frightening, and a lot of people don't want that. They prefer to take the blue pill and go back into the Matrix where they don't have to worry about things like that.
You know, they've depended so long on propaganda to deceive people, and it's worked for the most part. You know, relatively few people have been able to see through the scheme. But now, with this current administration, ever since 9/11, and even more so, I think, ever since Katrina, I think that woke a lot of people up. It was a massive awakening that began right after that, you know, with the obvious criminal negligence that took place. Do you think that they're blowing it? Because they won't be able so easily to rely on propaganda anymore. That's been the main weapon in their arsenal, but they're losing that weapon.
Well, I wish I could share that point of view, Charlie. I want to believe that, but when you say there's a massive awakening, I don't see that. I see a massive... discontent. I see a massive questioning and sort of a massive cynicism, but I don't see a massive awakening to the real forces that are at work.
I guess I'm talking about
still in control pretty much of how people think out there.
I guess I'm talking about like polls showing, you know, the 80-something% not believing the official story about 9/11, but that doesn't necessarily mean, yeah, that they've woken up to the whole big picture.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of my mother-in-law, who is deceased now, But she used to come to the house and she'd say, well, you can't believe anything you read in the newspapers. I mean, just all a pack of distortions and lies. And then she'd pick up the newspaper and she'd read an article and say, listen to this. Now, people in general know that they can't trust their government. In general, they know that the media may distort. But when it comes down to everyday life, they follow their government leaders and do believe the media. So it's sort of a schizophrenic state of mind out there with the public. They know they can't trust, and yet they do trust.
Yeah. Well, it's like a great many people are fed up with Bush. Unfortunately, most of those people are going to latch on to the opposition party, you know, wind up voting for Hillary, who's going to just give us more of the same garbage.
Yeah, they just bounce back and forth from one party to the next, not realizing that both parties are really firmly in the control of the same group. In fact, I've been giving a series of lectures lately, Charlie, and I call it the Quigley Formula. And that's based on the name, of course, may be familiar to many of your listeners. Quigley, with Professor Carol Quigley, who was the...
Tragedy and Hope. And
yes, he's the author of Tragedy and Hope and the Anglo-American Establishment and many other books. But he was the teacher, a professor at Georgetown University, where President Clinton studied as a student. And Clinton acknowledged him later in life as being very important in his career and his political formation. And Quigley was really the historian of a secret society called, well, they didn't really have a name, but it was the society that was created by Cecil Rhodes. When he died, he left a tremendous fortune to the creation of a secret society. The Rhodes Scholarship was just one aspect of that. It was a recruiting arm for the secret society. Of course, William Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. He was recruited into the secret society in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And Quigley, this professor, wrote about all of that. He was invited into the center of this group. He describes how he was allowed to read their private papers and look at their records and so forth. And so he wrote all about the secret society. And in one of his books, Quigley approvingly says, you know, how do we elite control the masses and still let them have the vote? I mean, they expect to vote and determine their own political destiny through this thing called democracy. So how do we allow them to do that and keep them contented, thinking that they're doing that? And still, at the same time, how do we rule them? And he came up with what I call the Quigley formula, which is he said, okay, we let them vote, but we just don't let them vote on anything important. We control both major political parties, he said, and then they can throw the rascals out and they can jump from one party to the other back and forth every 4 years if necessary. Meanwhile, they're getting people who we control, and no major changes will be made to to the important policies. That's
dog
the Quigley formula.
Yeah.
And that's what's been going on. So we expect to see it continue until the American people wake up to the Quigley formula and wake up to the fact that there is such a thing as a secret society, and we find out that this secret society still exists today, according to Quigley. It was founded in England, but it has branches in all of the Western countries, including the United States. And in the United States, it's called the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
And about 80% of the power centers of America are dominated by members of the Council on Foreign Relations. These are our secret rulers.
Right.
So it's time for people to wake up to these facts. Until they accept them and realize and do a little research, they're going to continue to be led around like sheep.
Oh, they're the ones who created this emerging Pan-American Union scam. They're
yes.
the ones that drafted the whole thing up.
Well, they have been the dominant force in all major political issues since at least World War I.
Yeah. And they admit it. They don't even hide it either. I mean,
well, they don't hide it anymore. No, they're quite proud of it. In fact, when Quigley was writing his books about this group, he said, I have no aversion to this group. In fact, he said, I think what they're doing is wonderful. My only objection, he said, is that they wish to remain secret.
Yeah,
private.
Secret.
He thought
they
ought to be acknowledged for what they're doing.
And because of that, he tasted their barbs. They tried to prevent his book from getting republished. I guess they've lost his plates, they said.
Yes, you know about that. He published the books. It was not meant to be read by the masses. His books are very difficult to read. They're dry history books. They were meant to be read by the academicians, the scholars, and the people involved in this group who wanted to know where the secret society came from and how many areas it operates in and so forth. But it wasn't meant for you and me to read. And so once it started to get out there and people like myself and others were quoting from it and saying, hey, listen to this, then a Macmillan company, which published it, decided to pull it from the media, from the market. And so they just stopped reprinting it. And Quigley was surprised and offended. He said, why don't you reprint this book? They said, well, there's no demand for it. Meanwhile, Quigley was getting letters by the hundreds from people all over saying, we want this book, we want this book. And so finally, Macmillan admitted that and brought it back into print.
Right. Yeah, recently, just a few years ago, it was put back. I got a brand new copy of it. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with G. Edward Griffin.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Hey, we're back, folks, with a few more minutes with G. Edward Griffin. Boy, the time really flies here. I'm sure you heard about this back in 2002. David Rockefeller wrote in his book Memoirs, actually admitting boasting. You know, for those who say that my family and I have been involved in a conspiracy for world government, working together with other elites around the world to use our financial clout to establish such a system, I plead guilty and I'm proud of it.
Yes, well, he is proud of it, and most of the people involved in this program are proud of it because they view that as a great step forward for mankind. They think that world government, based on the model of collectivism, is the highest morality. And from their point of view, you can't argue with them. I mean, they're determined. But, you know, for the rest of us that have to live under their rule, I think we are entitled to have a different opinion. So that's what we're up
really
against.
Scary. Yeah. We're beyond the point you can deny it anymore. I mean, in fact, I think the average person wouldn't tend to deny it. They'd be interested in, oh, really? Oh, that makes sense. You know, anybody who denies it at this point, I have to conclude, they must know they're lying. Probably paid to do so, too.
Well, of course, a lot of people are totally unaware, and they would deny it because they'll say, well, I haven't heard about that, you know, and they believe that if something that huge was underway, surely they would have heard about it because it would be in the major press. But they don't realize the reality that we live under. So a lot of people are just unaware, and they're unbelievers, not because they're liars or because they reject the truth. It's just because they really haven't heard the truth from
right.
what they consider to be a reliable source.
I guess I'm talking about, like, people I meet online in chat rooms, and, you know, they'll debate with you knowing, I mean, they know what they're talking about. You can tell talking with them, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're not ignorant of how the system works. They just try to defend it, you know. It's like 9/11, you know. So you know you're dealing with, in that context, people
yes,
that are just outright lying, you know.
Well,
I know
what
you're saying.
There are a lot of people out there, Charles, who really are collectivists. They do believe that the group is more important than the individual, and that the individual must be sacrificed if necessary for the greatest good of the greatest number and all of that, which is the basis of collectivism. And once you buy into that, then there's really no stopping. You've got to go all the way and say, well, even if it's necessary to pretend like you're surprised at the Pearl Harbor attack in order to get into World War II, which is for the good of mankind, even if you have to sacrifice a few thousand American lives in Pearl Harbor to benefit mankind, well, you know.
Necessary evil.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
It's the price and so forth is worth it. And then you go to 9/11, the same thing. In fact, once you accept the monstrosity, which is the basis of collectivism, that the individual must be sacrificed for the group, once you accept that, there is no. There's no atrocity that you cannot commit in the name of for the greater good of the greater number.
The door's wide open for anything.
And you can feel good about it. You've tricked yourself into being a monster and feeling good about it because you're helping mankind.
Literally no conscience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's distorted conscience, you know. I can understand it. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you, I was once there. I went through the university, and they taught that there, you know. The greater good for the greater number. And I thought, well, that made sense. I hadn't thought it all the way through. So I was set up for it. But, of course, after a while, if you give it some thought, you can see the fallacies.
Well, that's good you had that perspective. You can be more understanding and maybe reach people more easily, you know, having had that background.
Well, we talk a lot about that in Freedom Force. And I urge anybody who's curious about these fundamental issues to come to the Freedom Force website and check us out. Spend some time there. Especially
yeah, do that, folks.
Yeah, an article that says it's called The Chasm. We talk a lot.
You know what? We got to run. It's the end of the show. Sorry about that. Thanks for coming on. I want to have you on again sometime. We can talk some more.
Okay,
hours
Charles.
Just too short. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks
okay,
a
folks.
Lot for having me on.
Bye. You bet. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Right. Take care.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people